Hey, it's episode 56 of Motherhood in Hollywood. All right. Have you ever, I've got a question for you. Have you ever wanted to try probiotics or been curious about probiotics? If you have, then you've got to try Up 4. Up 4 sponsors Motherhood in Hollywood, and we're so glad because that means we've had the opportunity to try and use their products, and I can truthfully tell you that they have made a difference in our world. I've tried the Kids Cubes for Channing, and they have made a difference in her digestive issues and her tummy issues. For me, they make me feel more regular, more energized. And if you don't know about Up 4, I'll tell you, they have been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. So you know they have a formula that is tried and tested. It's also had over 40 years of clinical research behind it. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm trying out some kind of health product or a supplement or something like that, I want to make sure that it's a company that knows what they're doing. And that's exactly what Up 4 is. If you want to check it out for yourself, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up 4 probiotics link there. There's a big image that says Up 4. It'll take you right to Up 4 and you can find out more information. Or next time you're in your local Target store, you can go and check out Up 4 probiotics in the vitamin section. There's then the probiotics or immunity support section there in your local Target store. How easy is that? Go and check it out right now, you guys. Up 4 Probiotics. They've been creating a healthier inside since 1979.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Everybody, I sound a little different today, and that is because I got the deep voice going on because I literally just got in a few hours ago from Comic-Con in San Diego. My friend Heather and I did this whirlwind tour in about 24 hours of Comic-Con, and I had something like 22,000 steps in one day on my Fitbit, and there was a lot of like talking over loud music and just honestly talking and laughing and joking around all weekend long. It was so much fun. And I can tell you, as a mom who had needed a break, I'm so, so grateful to my husband for he took the day off on Friday so he could come home and watch Chan so we could get out of town for a couple of days. And I mean, it was just the best. Like, for those of you who are at the age where your kids are interrupting nonstop and you can't seem to finish a sentence or a thought, it can wear on your brain and your soul a little bit after a while. And I was just like, please, I just need a break. And so I'm really glad I got a chance to go do that. Comic-Con, you guys, it was so much fun. Parties, everybody's, you know, there's the hustle. Everybody's trying to get into the parties. You know, you want to go to the coolest, hippest parties so you can, you know, be next to the coolest, hippest people. And we did get into a few parties like that, which was a lot of fun. I always feel like such a nerd. Even though you're at like a nerd party, you still sort of, I feel like a nerd. I feel like a dork. I feel like I never feel like I'm skinny enough. I never feel like I'm really beautiful enough to be at some fabulous parties, even though I know I am. Ultimately, I'm like, damn it, I have every right to be here just as much as everybody else. But the way they set up these event type parties, these list only parties, are like, there's like a status, you know, you have to be a certain type or know a certain person or whatever to get in. And I'm just like, I'm just a mom. I'm just an actor. You know, I want to go in and have some drinks with my friends and hang out. I know it's part of the Hollywood machine. I know it's all part of the game that you play, but I'm really bad at it. Because if they tell me they don't want me to come into their party, then I'll just be like, okay, see you later. We'll just go somewhere else. But anyway, luckily we did get in. We went to the sci-fi party and hung out with the stars of the new show, The Magicians, on the Sci-Fi Network. And we also saw Tara Reid was there promoting Sharknado. I think it's 3 or 4, and I'm not sure what Sharknado they're on now. And there's a few other celebrities lingering around, but we mostly just had fun taking pictures of ourselves and enjoying free beverages. Woo! But in the actual Comic-Con itself, just packed full of people. If you've ever been to Comic-Con, you know that, like, half the planet goes there and they all dress up in like elaborate costumes, and the floor of the convention center in some areas is so packed you're literally shoulder to shoulder with everybody kind of inching along as one giant herd of people through the booths and through the you know, the displays for Marvel, DC, you know, all the big ones were there, of course. Then Nickelodeon had a booth there, and it was a lot of fun. It was exhausting, but it was neat to see everything. I did go to the panels where they have like celebs talking about their new shows and new product, new shows and new projects. That's what I'm trying to say. And I didn't do that because we didn't really have the time to wait. Some people will wait all night long. Like, we were walking around the backside of the convention center and there were people camped out and had clearly been there for some time just to get into this one hall called Hall H. And that's where, like, the massive, it's a big room where they see, like, the biggest stars. They were camped out outside waiting for hours and hours to get into that hall. And I just don't have a desire to ever do that. Like, there's nobody I'm dying to see so badly that I would sacrifice a night's sleep or sleep outside for. I don't even think when I was a teenager. Like, I wasn't. And I loved New Kids on the Block, you know, and I really loved Bon Jovi. Hello, dating myself. But I was not ever one of those kids that would, like, make signs or camp out or be willing to camp out for tickets or anything like that. I was just like, cool. They're just like me, basically, right? We're all big celebrities. I get it. but the overall vibe of Comic-Con is what's really fun, is everybody's enjoying themselves. There's like a collective fandom there. Like, what are you going to see? Oh, cool. What are you going to see? And then a lot of drinking, just a lot of drinking, which may also be part of why my voice is a little hoarse. Just saying. There might have been a little drinking. And I used Uber for the first time. I totally got outside my comfort zone and I used Uber for the first time. Uber scares me. I know here in LA, everybody uses it. It's just what you do. I'm so nervous to use Uber because I'm always afraid, like, who's picking you up? You're literally getting into a stranger's car who could be anybody. I mean, I guess it's the same thing with a taxi cab, but at least a taxi cab has a company behind it and a boss you can call and go, hey, this isn't right. And I just don't feel that same way that Uber has the kind of safety, you know, backup if there's any kind of problem. But we did it and we survived. I used the Uber. Yay. I'm going to try to do a little write up on my blog about it. Also got to go see last week. I got to go see Bad Moms, you guys. It was really fun. I talked about it a little bit on live on my Facebook page, which I'm going to be trying to do more of. And it was a really fun movie. It was Mila Kunis came before the movie started and kind of talked to everybody about the film a little bit, which was really neat. And Katherine Hahn and Kristen Bell were amazing. Just amazing. So funny. Katherine Hahn literally was playing every part. I was playing the part that I'm like, oh my God, I want that part so bad, just to be the goofy, profane, like wildly inappropriate person. And I'm like, that's me. That is literally me. But that's okay. I'll let her have this one. She did it brilliantly and beautifully. And I'm going to try not to be jealous. My part will come, right? Someday my part will come. Other people want a prince. And I'm just waiting for my part. Maybe I'll have to just make it for myself. What do you think about that? So Bad Moms, go and see Bad Moms. I will write up a little bit more about it as well once it comes up, because I can't reveal too many spoilers. I think they might get a little mad about that. Really quickly, I want to say hello to a few people on Twitter who found Motherhood in Hollywood on Twitter. Hey, thank you for finding me and following me. Runaround Betty's. Thank you for following me on Twitter. Appreciate it. Oh, Twitter is at MIH Podcast, by the way. Kids Interior, thank you. Lauren Mayhew, thank you so much for finding me on Twitter. And Laura Fuentes, Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. If you haven't found Motherhood in Hollywood yet, please take a minute to do that. All the social media support you can give, I really appreciate it. For those of you who follow me on Instagram and Facebook, that is, it's at Motherhood in Hollywood if you want to follow me and tell a friend. Also, please, if you haven't subscribed yet to Motherhood in Hollywood podcast on iTunes, do that, because that also makes a big difference in like iTunes rankings and how easily people can find my show in the future. So appreciate it. Appreciate the love. I just realized I just immediately started rambling when I turned the mic on and did not even talk about the awesome guest that I have on the show today. You guys, my guest is Shallon Cates. And she is so multifaceted. The woman is doing so many things that it makes me look like such a slacker. She, first of all, is an actress. She played Mrs. Knight for many years on Big Time Rush, the Nickelodeon show Big Time Rush. She's also been in A Million Ways to Die in the West. And she was recently in this great web series called Namaste Bitches, which we'll talk about that as well. And she owns a winery. She produces her own wines, her own Pinot Noir. And I mean, and she's a mom. So it makes me realize I need to step up my game, guys. Step up my game. Which I'm about to do. You look out, world. You look out. Heather Brooke is coming. As soon as I get my voice back and I take a nap, I'm taking over. I'm such a dork. All right, you guys, here's my interview with Shallon Cates. I'm really excited, first of all, that you brought some wine.
I'm excited for you to try it.
I know. I as I mentioned, my husband and I are big Pinot Noir fans, and I blame Sideways for that.
Yes.
I think a lot of people probably do.
Thank you, Sideways. Sideways did so much for the Central Coast of California.
Oh, absolutely.
It really put it on the map. So.
I was even at work the other day and some girl was like, ew, I don't drink Merlot. And I was like, what?
I know, poor Merlot.
I know, poor Merlot.
Merlot is really wonderful, but Sideways did it some horrible damage.
I know. I'm like, that is totally something that was started, a trend that was started by a movie. And I'm like, Merlot is a lovely wine. Like,
yes. There is really great Merlot. But yeah, so all I make is Pinot Noir.
Wow.
Although I have Chardonnay in the barrel, so I'll have a Chardonnay next year.
Now, what started your, and I should mention everybody, hey, this is Shallon Cates. We're talking.
Hey.
You are a wine producer, and I think that's amazing. How did that start?
Well, it started because my family had a winery called mm-hmm. Tanterra, and my dad started that in 97. And before that, I grew up in Virginia, and he was growing grapes and making wine in Virginia before there were any wineries in Virginia. And then they moved out to California. I was already here acting, and they moved out and started this winery. And I was always up there helping them and doing stuff around the winery.
Did they want to be closer to you, or was it something they specifically, like they were just coming out here for the winery?
Well, they had been coming out to visit me, and they loved California.
Oh, yeah.
So when an opportunity came up for them to get some grapes in California and make wine, I think that did make it an easier move for them to move all the way across the country, because I was here, and my sister was here, and my younger sister was in school in Oregon at the time. So mm-hmm. everybody was already on the West Coast. So yeah.
They were like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
I mean, there is something really... there's something lovely about California. It just draws people in, and people come and they never leave.
I know.
That's why there's so many people here.
I love going back home to Virginia, but I feel like I'm a Californian now.
Me too. Chris and I were talking about that because we're from Oklahoma originally, and every time we go back, it just feels kind of like familiar, but it doesn't feel like home anymore.
Yeah.
Even though we love Oklahoma and it is where our family is.
Right. And I think especially when you have kids that who were born in California, right. then they are Californians, and so this is their home, and
yeah.
it makes it yeah.
So when you started your winery, you just started it like rather recently though, right?
Very recently.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say
it's my first vintage was 2012.
Wow.
And so I only released that onto the market a year and a half ago. So it's definitely a newer venture for me.
And did you kind of have your dad and your mom and dad's guidance? Were they helping you along, or was this totally something you wanted to do on your own?
My parents were getting out of the wine business, and I was coming off of Big Time Rush, and I panicked because the two things that I loved were being taken away from me, oh my God, what am I going to do? And so I called my dad and I said, you know, I think I want to keep making wine, will you help me figure out where to get the best grapes and, you know, which vineyards I should approach and who I should talk to about getting as a winemaker? And so we had all of these conversations and we figured it out and dove in. And my dad is my winemaking consultant. So I lean on him for a lot of support because he's such an incredible winemaker. And
does he have a good palate? Do you feel like there's a good palate run in your family?
I think I've learned a lot from him, and there's still so much more to learn. It's kind of like acting, like you never know everything there is to know.
Right, right. Have you seen the documentary Somme?
I have not.
Oh, no. It's okay. It's all right. The first one was a little dry and like, oh, my gosh, the pompousness. Is that even a word? Pompousness? Pomparity.
I like it.
I'm just going to make it up.
Pompousness.
These sommeliers wannabes, because they were all going through the testing and the trials of, you know, becoming a sommelier. And they were so ridiculous. Like, I'll never forget this one guy who was like, I smell an open can of tennis balls, a new can of tennis balls. And I'm like, you do not smell that in that wine.
Well, that's petroleum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's smelling.
Yeah, that's what he's smelling.
That's very specific. An open can of tennis balls.
Yes. And the things that they were saying were just so funny. And like, it was like a fight to the death. Like, they were very competitive to get to this level of sommelier status. But I'm always fascinated with wine. My husband and I are big wine fans. We just went to Napa for our anniversary.
Oh, nice.
And we just love it. Like, we enjoy tasting it. We enjoy the whole experience and all of that. So I think that's so cool that you have your own, you know, wine. You have wine with your name on it. That's a pretty big deal. But acting was your first love, would you say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And then tell me about that. How did you get started acting and move out here from Virginia?
I started doing commercials and print work when I was a kid. And then when I went to college at the University of Georgia, and fortunately there was a lot of stuff that was being shot in Atlanta at the time, like there is now.
There's now more now.
But it was really on fire at the time, and so I had an opportunity to work a lot in a small market, and it was fantastic. It was a great place to jump off. And then after I'd kind of worked with every production company there, I went, uh-oh, now I have to go somewhere else. And so I booked a plane ticket to go to New York. And then I said, no, I'm...
New York wasn't for you.
No. And so I packed up my car and I drove across the country. And I've been here ever since.
I feel like some people are just made for New York.
Yes.
Like, I love visiting there.
I do too.
I enjoy going, especially around Christmas time and the holidays. But I just can't handle the cold weather and everybody's on top of each other there.
Yeah.
So LA is a little more spread out.
Yeah. I'm claustrophobic. So.
Oh, so New York was probably like,
yeah.
And when you got out here, did you find that it was a similar experience as Atlanta, or did you struggle a little bit like in the beginning? Like, a lot of people come out here and they don't get reps right away and they don't book right away. What was that experience like for you?
It was terrifying. I remember I had already lined up in acting classes and before I got here. And so my first day here, I walked to Brian Reese's acting class. And I was terrified because I thought, oh, no, these are real actors.
Oh,
and
no.
They're going to be so good and I'm going to be so bad.
Oh,
And then I realized when the class was over, I went, wait, we're all the same.
We're all the same.
And so that was good. But it was tough at first. It was hard to get representation. Nobody cared what I had done outside of LA.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's all credits. It's all TV credits.
Right.
And you would think that they would be like, oh, she has experience. But they didn't care her.
Mm-hmm. Nope. They didn't care. But I landed people eventually and would work and not work and work mm-hmm. and work and then not work and that
it's
roller
the cycle. It totally is. And I tell people all the time, because people go, oh, you work all the time, and I'm like, no.
it never feels like that
because, you know, sure, you may book, like, for me everything is cyclical. Like, when I book one thing, I'll book like four more things in a row and then nothing for like a year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But when they all start coming out, that's when people seem to think like, oh, there's Heather on TV again. She's working. Right. And I'm like,
I shot it a year ago.
So yeah, it's such a strange industry like that. Cause you want to feel like you're working towards something, but then you're not, you know, like you, I mean, you're working towards something, but you're not actually working.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Right.
So what happened then? Tell me about Big Time Rush, because was that really your big breakout? Or I know you were in Passions as well, but was Passions before Big Time Rush?
That was definitely before. Big Time Rush, it was just one of those things I read for and I walked out and I thought, I'm never going to get that. And then I got the call and it was originally just 10 episodes. And that turned into, I think the first season ended up being 20 episodes. Wow. And then that turned into 4 seasons. And
so great.
It was fantastic. And it was the perfect job at the perfect time because I had a 1- and a 4-year-old.
Oh, so you had your kids at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I was still... I was still breastfeeding, so my husband would bring my daughter over to visit me on set so I could nurse in the dressing room.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, good for you and not going, you know what, I'm just going to stop because it's too hard.
No.
Because there's a lot about breastfeeding that's hard.
Right, yeah.
And challenging, especially when you're an actor.
But being on a kid-friendly show and the producer has 4 kids and, you know, everyone was very kid-friendly and they were
good.
They were really cool about the kids coming to visit and hanging out on set.
You know, to be honest, I have not heard a lot of negative stories. I think I'm hoping maybe we're past a lot of what used to happen in like the 80s and 90s when women would say they were pregnant and they would lose a job or right. when they would bring their kids to set and they would, you know, be frowned upon. I feel like now most of the stories I hear are like that because it's like, oh, they're a kid-friendly set or the producer had kids or the director has kids and they get it and they understand.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that they're all like, yeah, bring your kids to set every day. Like maybe that's not their favorite thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're definitely more accepting now.
Definitely.
At least that's the impression I'm getting and that's what you're saying
too.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't hear bad stories anymore about people getting fired because they're pregnant.
Right, right. I'm hoping we're sort of past that. And maybe it's because it's happening at a different level. I don't know. But like Mila Kunis is pregnant again. I doubt anybody's going to fire her.
Yeah, I doubt it.
You know, I mean, she's a huge star. And I think also too, social media has helped with that because now if a production company says, hey, you're pregnant, you can't come work on this show, they could be on Twitter like that or on Facebook, just calling them to the carpet and being like, how dare you fire me over this baby? And the internet would lose its mind.
It would. You're right. You're right.
Speaking of like playing a mom and all of that stuff.
Yep.
What was that like for you to be a mom, play a mom? Like you must have just been inundated with mom world things.
I was. It was a really cool experience.
Did you feel like I just want to break, like, enough of the mom talk?
No. No, I was playing a mom to teenagers, and my kids were little. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I learned a lot about what it was going to be to be the mom of a teenagers. And I learned a lot from the character, and I learned a lot from the real moms.
Oh, the real moms on set?
Yeah, the actors, the stage moms.
What was that like? Because stage moms get a bad rep.
They do get a bad rep. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was just our show, but all of the moms were fantastic. Mm. Sierra Bravo's mom became a really good friend, and she was just so incredible. And so I observed their relationship, and also Kathy Schmidt, Kendall Schmidt's mom, is a fantastic woman, and she was a great example. And so I loved watching her and talking to her and going, how did you do this? How did you raise these 3 boys? And they're so amazing, and they're so empowered and independent, and they believe in themselves so much. So it was a really great experience on all of those levels. But then I also, like I said, I learned from the character too, and I think that was Scott Fellows wrote really great characters, and he created a mom who was, she was really cool, but she was also really flawed.
I love hearing actors talk about their passion for the roles that they play. And so we're definitely going to get back to that interview with Shallon in just a moment. But I want to tell you guys a little bit more about Up4 Probiotics. Up4 can be found in your local Target store. And so if you've ever wanted to try a probiotic, it could not be easier. You just pop into their vitamin section, grab some Up4. They come in many different formulations. You've got kids cubes, adult formula, women's formula. They've even got a formula for senior citizens. That's because their particular super strain of probiotics has been found to be beneficial for people of all ages, from infants to senior citizens. So I don't know about you, but that's definitely something that is good for my family. And the fact that it's been researched for over 40 years and has clinical tests to back it up, that's a win, guys. That's a big win for me. Go right now to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 probiotics image, and that'll take you right to Up4 so you can find out more information about which probiotic is right for you. Up4 has been making probiotics, and only probiotics, since 1979. Yeah, absolutely. As we all are deeply flawed.
Yes.
And now Big Time Rush went on to become, I think I read it was like the third most popular live action of all time for Disney, right?
Nickelodeon.
Like the third most popular show for them, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. And it went on for 4 seasons, right?
4 seasons. And it seemed to have a longer life than that because it was still...
in reruns.
It's still on a lot. And then it was still airing, current episodes were still airing in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So on social media, it was still very fresh for a long time.
Oh, wow. And what happened when they told you the show's coming to an end? Because I know for an actor, that can be a little bit like, oh, no.
Yeah. They didn't tell us.
Oh.
It just, as time went on, we all started going, huh, I don't think we're ever really coming back.
Oh, so you never got a call for like the next season to...
No, there was never...
What?
There. No, they, and
no
they,
formal announcement.
And eventually we kind of all heard, you know, the actors were talking to each other and we're like, yeah, so apparently they're just never gonna pick us up.
Oh my gosh, how strange.
So, and there was talk about, oh, we'll probably do a special or we'll probably do a movie or something. And so I kept thinking that that was gonna happen. And then that didn't happen. So it was a slow reveal that it wasn't going to come back. So it made it really hard. I think it almost would have been better if they'd said, okay, no, we're canceled. We're not.
Yeah, because then you're left wondering for months and months, like, what what do I plan for? You know, did you have to be on hold as an actor?
No.
Okay, that's good. At least you could go out and audition for other things.
Right.
Because, like, gosh, that would be very frustrating if they're like, well, we can't decide, but you have to wait.
Yeah, we're just going to keep on hold for the next 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
So then what happens, like, you know, for me, that would be very, like, you're on this great show. Like, that's a dream job. You're on a fun kids show, and you get to bring your kids. Mm-hmm. Do you feel pressure, or did you feel pressure after that to sort of keep up the momentum or, like, get back out there right away? Because, you know, Hollywood tends to be like, what was your last thing? You did that 3 years ago, you know. They tend to be like, what are you doing right now?
Right.
Which is not fair at all.
It's true. Yeah. And the first year after the show, I worked a lot. And it was great. And I, you know, wasn't really thinking about that much. And then I had a really horrible dry spell. And that's when it really hit me. And I was like, oh, no, you know, my career's over. I'm never going to work again. The thing that we all do to ourselves.
Right.
And then slowly it started to, you know, things started to happen and other possibilities opened up. But, yeah, it's amazing how your mind plays with you like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I talk to people on every level who go through that. And every, you know, writers, directors, actors, everybody does it.
It's because I think of the freelance nature of this business. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all, you know, unless you're at a desk,
at a
production studio, there's no security. And you just have to hope that, you know, your name gets called for the next series or, you know, next big commercial, whatever.
Yeah.
I can imagine on, yeah, like you said, on every level, that's a total mind F. I would be totally like, what's going on? So you said earlier, like, that the show was ending, and at the same time, your parents were closing up or, like, going to stop doing wine, and that's why you felt like you were losing two things you love.
I was losing these two things that I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. and so I had a moment of panic where I went, oh, no, I loved working on Big Time Rush, and I loved hanging out at the winery, and now those things are being taken away. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what really inspired me to start my own winery.
Because then that's at least one thing you can control.
Yes, and I'm creating something.
Yeah.
And it feels really good to make something and be creative. And there is a lot of creativity involved in making wine.
Yeah. That's definitely true, because you get to, like, everything from, and I've seen the documentaries. I know how it works. I'm pretty sure I'm an expert. But like, everything from, like, you know, how long to leave the grapes, you know, smashed in the barrels or whatever. Like, I'm totally going to be messing up all of the lingo. But I understand there's a creative aspect of it for sure.
Right.
And I think that as artists, we have a need to create something at all times, you know, like, yes. Why, if you're not, then you start to feel irrelevant, and you start to feel like, what am I doing, you know, and you get blue.
Right, absolutely. The blues. Yeah. I think the winery does keep me, it keeps me from getting depressed about the rest of my world. Yeah, so it's, I know that I have to always be creating something.
And speaking of creating something, so let's talk about Namaste Bitches. I know you didn't create that, right? But you were in it.
I was in it.
I came across that randomly a few months ago. I was writing an article for a website called thedailyactor.com. And in The Daily Actor, I had listed ways that actors can stay creative while they're waiting for their next gig, like, kind of things to fill your headspace, you know, and keep busy. And one of them was create a web series. And I cited Namaste Bitches as one of the web series that I was like, look how well this is done. And look how popular it is. It's won so many awards. Like, it's so great.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then when I was doing my research on you, I was like, oh, my God, that's right. Like, I literally put two and two together. I was like, yes, that's where I've seen her. Because I didn't watch Big Time Rush. I'm sorry. This was before my baby. And so I didn't even watch Nickelodeon or Disney Channel. Was not even. None of the kids' channels were on my radar yet. Right. Now it's, like, all the time.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. What was that experience like versus, like, working on a web series versus, a big TV show?
Well, it was a blast. The women who created that are, friends, and we had been in a theater company together, the Open Fist Theater Company. And so they called me and asked me if I wanted to play, Layla, the, obsessive compulsive vegan chef, and then they told me that Scott Paulin was going to be directing, and that Wendy Phillips, his wife, who's an amazing actress, was also going to be in it. And so I said yes, absolutely. And we had a great time shooting it. They're all great characters. They're women who come together to hold a positive thought for the world in this meditation circle, and they are all completely effed up in their own way.
Right.
So,
do you think that that's? Do you do meditation and yoga?
I try. Or I don't do yoga. I'm a Pilates girl, but I try to meditate, and I download these meditation apps, and then I forget to do them. It. I'll go, what is this app on my phone?
It's like, I have to plan to meditate. I need to set time aside to meditate.
Yes.
That's so funny, because I think it, like, pretty perfectly skewers the whole yoga meditation scene. It's such a weird world to me, because I don't do yoga, or obviously I don't work out that much, but I like, when I do work out, I like more active workouts, like sports or dancing and things like that, more like physical rather than introspective and, you know, all
right,
of that.
Right.
I just thought it was a really funny web series. And now you mentioned that you are starting one with your husband. Is it in pre-production or?
It is in pre-production. It's called Broken Sidewalk. And it was written by, it's written by three people. One of them, Nathan Brimmer, had worked with my husband on A Million Ways to Die in the West. And so Nathan called Aaron, my husband, Aaron McPherson, and asked him if he would direct. And then he gave me the script to read, and one of the characters is named Ginger, and she's a total tart. And I said, but, well, what about me? And so they were like, oh, my God, we'd love for you to be Ginger. So I'm really excited. She's actually not a mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's the town tart.
There you go.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
That will be fun. When are you going to start shooting that?
So we are supposed to start shooting in September.
Okay, cool. And your husband's an actor, too?
He is an actor and an acting coach and director.
Why does his name sound familiar? I feel like I've...
Maybe you've worked with him.
Maybe, or maybe it's just I'm Googling and all my reading about you. Maybe that's why it sounds familiar. What was it like working on A Million Ways to Die in the West?
It was a blast.
Did they film that outside of LA?
They filmed that in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
There is a Western town. It's a set, outside of Santa Fe, and it is amazing and beautiful. And, it was a great experience. My husband was already working on the film and he was coaching Seth MacFarlane. He's his acting coach. And so there was a scene where...
Does Seth MacFarlane need an acting coach? What is he doing that's acting?
He was in A Million Ways.
Yeah, no, I know he was in the... I guess so. He was coaching him just for that movie.
Right, because Seth is, you know...
Because I guess I forget he's an act.
He can do everything with his voice, but yeah. This was one of the first times where he was really going to be on camera. And his first time in a lead. So he had Aaron with him. And so there was a scene with a mother and a son on a stagecoach that gets robbed by Liam Neeson and his gang of bad guys. And my husband was one of the bad guys. So... Seth said that Colton and I should, my son Colton, should be the mother and son on the stagecoach. And it was so great to work with my son. And he loved it. He was so cute in his turn of the century little suit. And so I was in a scene with my son and my husband and Liam. So that was a
not
really,
a bad day.
Really cool experience.
What a great actor moment. I love that. That would just be like, pinch me, you know, I want to do this every day. But your son was really into it. Do you think he is leaning towards acting? Is that something he wants to do?
Yes.
If he's surrounded by it with mom and dad.
They both are. Yeah. So they just got an agent. And
oh, wow.
They're starting to audition. And they just did a commercial or a PSA, rather. And I just posted them on my social media because they're so cute.
Oh, I love that. So you, even though you've seen like all the child actors and stuff that were on Big Time Rush and all of that, it didn't dissuade you at all from wanting your kids to be in Hollywood.
Well, we certainly worry about it, but we didn't encourage them and we didn't discourage them.
Mm-hmm.
They both came to us and said that they wanted to start auditioning and that they wanted to be actors. So we'll see what happens. I worry because it's so hard.
So hard.
The rejection is so hard and it hurts so much. And
How do they take that?
Well, it hasn't really hit them yet. So, I don't know.
The stakes are not that high yet where they're like, oh my gosh, this could change my life, you know, or this could be a game changer kind of thing.
Yeah, they haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I worry about for them is that I don't want them to be hurt by rejection.
Yeah, it is definitely an industry where you have to have a thick skin and just be like, okay, well, that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It still sucks, though, when you want to, like, rage on people. Just be like, what is wrong with you? Clearly, I'm the best thing for this part. That's so cool that they're interested in that and that they're leading.
And who knows where it will lead? Maybe they'll work on something and they'll go, you know, maybe I think I'd rather be a producer or a director or a writer or maybe I don't want to do this. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's certainly something they can explore.
At what point do you think that you'll be like, wait a minute, this is infringing on mommy's audition time? Because that's my fear is because people ask me all the time, do you want Channing to be an actress? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, first of all, I don't think she wants to be. Like, I can just sort of tell. Like, I just don't think it's going to be her bag necessarily. But also, I have a hard enough time getting myself to auditions. I can't imagine also then taking her to Santa Monica at 5 o'clock on a Friday and, like, you know, getting her in there and hoping she does a good job and then driving on the way back. Like, it just sounds really exhausting to me.
And that was exactly what we waited a while before we got the agent, because that was a big conversation, was how are we going to do this? I don't want their agents pissed off at me because I can't drop everything and drive across town.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's something I didn't even think about, is having to tell their agent, no, sorry, I can't because I'm on set or whatever.
So we had to figure out, okay, do we have someone else who could probably, you know, possibly drive them if we can't? And so we got that in place. But what's interesting is, because things are changing so much so far, I would say that 70% of the auditions they've had, and they haven't had that many, have been self-tape.
I was going to say, are they taped?
Yeah.
That is becoming huge right now.
So, you know, we do it ourselves at home, and then it's not a huge deal. You don't have to drive. You just have to take the time to do that and then upload it.
I wonder how much more. Yeah, I know. You have to get tech savvy, moms. Moms, we got to get with it. I wonder how much more, as actors, that part of the industry is going to continue to grow. I've had 2 self-tape auditions this week alone.
Wow.
On one hand, I'm like, yay, I don't have to find a babysitter. I don't have to drive across town. Like, for me as a mom, it's a huge help. Mm-hmm. But I think for me as an actor, it does a disservice, because I'm... love meeting the casting director. You miss that human element where you can meet them face to face,
and you get the feedback.
And you get
them.
The feedback. Yeah,
if they want to adjust you, they can. Mm-hmm. You send the tape in, they go, oh no, she's not right.
Didn't get it right, or she didn't understand it, or whatever. Yeah. And that's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, one of the things I like about it is that it makes it so you really don't have to live in LA anymore.
Yeah. I think I'm torn about that, because I'm like, part of me kind of was like, oh yeah, you could actually go somewhere that's more affordable, but then you'd have to fly in town every time you book a job.
Right.
So it's like,
there is that.
You would be saving money living somewhere else, but if you are a lucky actor and you get to work a lot, then you'd be here every week anyway. So we just can't win, is what I'm saying.
Know.
We just can't win. We all just need to start our own production companies. I'm fascinated too, like, to see all of the movies that are coming out. I think I emailed you about it, like Bad Moms and Mother's Day and all of that. Mother's Day was not great. I'm just gonna go out on a limb. Did you see Mother's Day?
I did not, but I am really excited about Bad Moms.
You are. See, there's mixed camps in my friends. Like, some people are like, it was written by men. How dare they? You know, how dare they assume to know what mothers are like? And I'm like, well, it looks like...
it looks like they kind of got it.
They kind of got it. They might be onto something. I mean, I hate to give guys credit, but it looks really funny. And I personally am excited to see this trend of, like, mom shows, mom... movies and everything that's happening. Are you seeing that too? Are you seeing a rise in maybe even auditions or projects for yourself for mom type roles?
Well, it does seem like that is starting to happen. I mean, I hope it keeps going and growing, because for a while it seemed like there were not that many opportunities.
Yeah.
It
was all just like guy comedies and, like, you know, dick and fart joke type stuff, which has its place. It does. But yeah, no, it totally seemed like that.
Yeah, I hope this is a growing trend. Moms.
Yeah, go moms. I hope so too. I want to see Bad Moms. I'm having a weird deja vu right now.
You are?
What does that mean? It's like, I feel like we had one of those moments where I just feel like we've had this conversation.
Oh my god!
Oh, that's so weird. What am I going to say next? So Bad Moms is coming out in a couple of weeks. I'm definitely going to go see it. And Ghostbusters, although not a mom movie, is definitely an all-female driven movie, and got some backlash for that, which I still don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't either. It's, you know, there's this whole... the way that we think about movies needs to change. And for so many years, it's just been male dominated, and we've gotten used to that. That's what we're accustomed to. So we need to shift the way that we look at movies. Mm-hmm. And I was having a conversation with a friend who's a writer, and she said, she goes, you know, now I'm realizing that when I'm writing, I should be looking at the script going, what? So all of these people in the background here, well, at least half of them should be women. And we've never really been that specific. So I think it's a conscious effort
that writers are making now, do you think?
Yes. Yes. Well, especially female writers.
Yeah. Well, because so much of the industry in terms of like writers has been male dominated for mm-hmm. so long that I think now they've got this momentum and the power of like mommy bloggers and advertisers and brands are recognizing the power that moms have. And when you've got buying power behind it, then suddenly people want to write and develop and like create things for those audiences. So I think that Bad Moms is designed for those moms and moms audiences, obviously. Mm-hmm. People are going to hate on it, I'm sure. But sure. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
I know. I think it'll be a blast.
I mean, I loved... They say it's like a female version of... Oh, not Las Vegas. What's
the... The Hangover.
The Hangover, yes.
Thanks. Yes, it's the same
yeah,
creator.
Just like right. that. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, do it. Why not? We yeah. all get a little wild every now and then. What mom doesn't want to at some point... Just invite the ladies over, have some drinks, go a little crazy with no consequences, no responsibilities, like you're 20 again, you know, like this sounds like fun. Sounds exhausting, but it sounds like fun.
It does.
You're working on your web series right now. Anything else that we should be on the lookout for you? Can people buy your wines like off of your website?
Yes, absolutely. ShallonWinery.com.
Awesome. Yeah. I went there already.
You did?
Yes. I was like, I want to see.
I went
to your website. So everybody definitely go and check out Challenge Wines. And you can buy them in stores too.
Yes. Yeah.
But well, only a few, certain stores.
Yeah. So I have lots of retailers and restaurants in California. And I just started selling in New York as well. Wine can be shipped to almost every state. Mm-hmm. But I just got a distributor in New York and in Nevada. So I have my first restaurant in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool. Mm. What a great feeling. That's so awesome. So aside from the winery, then where can everybody find you to keep track of you, to follow your story?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Whosay at Shallon Cates.
Okay. And I'm going to put that also on my website, too, so everybody can find Shallon that way. I love that name. Where does that come from? It sounds Irish.
it came to my mom in a dream.
Ooh.
But I've looked it up, and it's actually, it's a Welsh name originally.
Oh, okay. Does it mean something weird?
No. Probably.
<No. laughs> well, I love it. I think it's a really cool name. My daughter's name is Channing.
Yes.
And everybody, of course, is for the rest of her life, poor thing, going to think I named her after Channing Tatum. But and I'm like, I just now go, yep, I did. I just tell people that. Even though that is not what she's named after.
It's a great name. I know yeah. I know another Channing, and she is... She helps run a surf camp that my son does.
Oh, cool.
She's really, really cool.
There's just something about that name. Like, I met a girl, some people have heard this story before, but one of my friends in middle school, she had an older sister whose name was Channing, and mm-hmm. she was beautiful. She had blonde, curly hair, and she was so talented. She sang in the Tulsa Junior Opera and was a pianist and just, like, really talented, and I was like, oh, idolized her as this little like 13-year-old, and I just remember thinking, what a beautiful name. And I told my mom, if I ever have a daughter, I think I would name her Channing. And my mom just burst into tears, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be a grandma. And I just was like, slow your roll, mom, slow your roll. So honestly, ever since I was 13 years old, I've kind of always had that name in the back of my head that, like, I mean, this is what I'm gonna name my daughter someday.
Oh, that's cool.
And then a few years after my husband and I got married, Channing Tatum burst on the scene, and we were like, oh, should we change it? And I was like, no. I'm not changing it because this sexy, gorgeous man is dancing right? in my face. I can separate the two.
I could watch him dance
for
all
real
day. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We always joke that Channing was conceived the week Magic Mike came out in the theaters because
hilarious.
It was about that time. So funny. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you
and
for having
being
me.
My guest and letting me ask you all these crazy questions.
This
I appreciate
it.
This
was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Everybody, I am going to put information about Shallon on motherhoodinhollywood.com where you can find her. You can also find me at MIH Podcast and Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget, please, to subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes, Stitcher, and Player FM. Would you please? Thanks. All right, that's it for this edition of Motherhood in Hollywood. Remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Have a great week, everybody.
Mama funny.
Balls.